Hey everyone, welcome to Tutto Calcio Weekly, a podcast all about Serie A, all about what you want to know. This is our first podcast, and we'd just like to take a little time out to tell you what we're all about. My name's Alessandro, this is my co-host Aiden,
and we're just going to be covering everything that has to do with Italian soccer. The league,
we're going to give you national team updates, we're going to tell you about who's in it for the relegation, who's in it for promotion, who's in it for the UEFA Cup, Champions League, and who's in it for the Scudetto.
And most importantly, for you Inter fans, about the Coppa Italia.
And as you can see, we may offend certain groups of fans at any time of the show. And if you have any concerns or comments, you can email us at interistadimerda@yahoo.com. Feel free anytime. And I just want to put out right now that I'm a Milan fan and Aiden's a Juve fan. And if we can come together and hate Inter at the same time, you can too, okay? Okay, I've laid it out. We're gonna have weekly interviews. We're gonna have, you can send us your emails to our special email we set up for the podcast, which I will tell you right now.
Yeah, which is tutto.calcio@yahoo.com. We also set up a MySpace, which is www.myspace.com/tuttocalcio. So that being said, let's get right into it and go into the week of games. All right, so the 32nd week of Serie A. Let's go to the first game, Atalanta versus Inter. Inter taking a 2-0 away. Vieira with a goal in the 21st minute in the first half, and the 17-year-old prodigy scoring in the second half, Balotelli. What did you think of the game?
Well, first let's get it straight here. Inter have been down in form for the past few weeks, and this was one of the most boring games you'll ever see, man. Sure, they picked up. They played better than they usually do, but I haven't seen them, play their best since maybe before the Liverpool game, you'd say?
I think the thing with Inter is that they're a consistent team. Sure, they're not unbeatable, as we saw Juve beat them. They outplayed them pretty much the whole game. And Roma also outplayed them, but were unfortunate to get a draw. I think what it is they're consistent against the lower teams in the league.
I'm just going to say right now, they play like shit, but they get lucky, all right? If you look at some of the games, they've gotten so lucky. And, I mean, this poor form is just showing what they deserve. The loss against Juve was what they deserved. They tied a few teams before that I can't remember right now. And, I mean, it's getting close, but I still don't see them losing the Scudetto.
Yeah, I think we should be a little bit more objective here. I mean, they're a strong team. With all their players, they're a pretty hard team to beat. We saw what happened with Vieira and Cambiasso coming back. We saw the team be a little bit more livelier. And, I mean, they're not a bad team. It's just that even however much they choke, it just doesn't seem that Roma's going to do any better than them.
And also, just commenting back on the game, Cristiano Doni got sent off for a stupid... I mean, it was a ridiculous red card at the end, and as you can see, he got into it with the ref. But if you didn't see the game, it was, there's nothing. You didn't miss anything special.
All right, so Balotelli, the Nigerian, scoring in the second half. What do you think of him?
Actually, you know what? I got sources that tell me that Balotelli is actually born in somewhere in Sicilia.
He was actually born in Palermo.
In Palermo, exactly. And, I thought he was born in Nigeria, so I don't see him. I see him, I guess that makes it a little bit better for him playing the national team. I can accept it now.
Yeah, well, I was joking a little bit. There's a joke going around saying that Inter, even their Italians, aren't really Italian. But, I mean, he is more Italian than Amaury, and I guess we can accept him playing for the Italian national team.
Yeah, but Amaury doesn't play for Inter, so, it's cool.
All sure. Right, let's go on to Roma-Genoa. Roma winning 3-2, going up 2-0 with Tadej scoring in the 13th. Vucinic scoring a very nice goal in the 17th. Almost, was it a chip or a curling shot?
It was a finesse shot. It was nice.
It was a pretty nice goal. And then Genoa coming back, tying it up 2-2 with a goal from Rossi and Lyon. And Borriello with his beautiful tackle to give the penalty. And De Rossi scoring the winner in the penalty in the 80th minute.
Yeah, I think you can see how Roma's dip in form. I mean, without Totti, in the second half they looked like they were gonna lose the game. I mean, they weren't playing like they played at the beginning of the season. Like really, their passing game, their fast passing game, like they usually do. They're really missing Totti, and you can see that, you know, I think that's the difference, you know. Inter had a dip in form. I think they're going to come back and start winning again, but I think I can't see Roma, you know, performing the way they did in the beginning of the season, you know, even up until they beat Real Madrid, then they just really lost their form.
I think it's comparable to how Arsenal plays in England, and I guess Totti is their Henri, and without him, they're missing a leader and that connector, some of the creativity.
Well, I don't know. You know, with Arsenal, Henri, it's a different story, because after he left, they all rejoicing because he was. Anyways, that's a different story.
Well,
but,
no, I mean, when he was there without Henri, they were kind of in a struggle there.
Yeah. I mean, I think they need to get a new leader. You know, and I think Vucinic, if they give him the chance, he'll score as many goals as Totti, and you know.
Well, some people out there are criticizing Spalletti for his rotation policy. I mean, Esposito, who's a pretty good winger, he's a pretty creative player, isn't getting that much playing time. And neither are some of the other people on the bench. I think that could be attributed to some of their tiredness at the end of the season right now.
I don't know. I haven't been too impressed with Esposito since he came to Roma. So.
Well, he hasn't got much of a chance to play. I mean, 8 minutes against Real Madrid or 8 minutes against Manchester United is not going to really show much. You should be playing more, maybe in the Coppa Italia or against Genoa.
Well, I see your point, but you know Roma, they need to hit their form like they had in the beginning of the season, and they need to hit it soon. Otherwise, I really can't see them winning Scudetto.
I really don't see them winning the Scudetto either.
Unfortunately,
like four points. I mean, I would love for them to, but it's not going to happen.
Well, if you consider the games that Inter have left and that Roma have left, it's a small possibility.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it comes down to the games Inter has to play against Fiorentina and
Milan.
Against Milan. Yeah, those are two really key games. They also have to play Parma on the last day, which is their relegation battle.
Parma's kind of a bogey team for Inter sometimes.
Yeah, so is Lazio.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into Palermo-Juventus fluke game. Both of Amari's goals being flukes, and also Cassani's game being a fluke.
They were great goals. I'm not believing the big hype around Amari, but he really showed his stuff in this game. I don't know. I think that Palermo, you know, they suffered in the second half, but overall, you know, I think. A draw was fair, you know, and I think Palermo, in if you look at it, some ways deserved a victory, I guess.
I don't think a draw was fair. Actually, I think Juventus dominated the game for the most part. The first goal Amaury scored was from a bad back pass that went to him, and I mean, props to him. He did really well. He scored two goals that were pretty nice. I mean, I think Chiellini was at fault for that second goal. He should have been marking him instead of just looking at the cross. But so
yeah, well, Juve got their chances, man. Juve had a lot of chances. Palermo gave them, and I mean, it's you know, if you can't finish your chances, you don't deserve to win.
Well, yeah, I mean
Palermo took their chances, man, and Cassani Cassani's shot was just amazing, man.
Well, I mean, Del Piero come in like half an inch away from scoring his hat trick and giving Juventus the win, so that was also a big part of it.
Well, Trezeguet had the chance after that. Fontana, man. Fontana and Balotelli, props to them for playing after 40. Those guys are, man.
Balota, I think you meant.
Balota, my bad. And, no, but Fontana pulled off a great save, and he didn't finish. What do you want? Juve didn't finish.
Yeah,
I mean,
by the way, to FSC, it's not Jimmy Fontana. It'd be great if they'd stop calling him that.
I don't think nobody knows what you're talking about, but anyways.
I'm talking about that guy who's on FSC that always whispers to you like, "Well, welcome to the Stadio San Siro."
For you worldwide international listeners of this podcast, you know, you might not know for some of the things we're talking about. So, because we're actually based in Los Angeles. So,
it's
getting
still
back,
kind of funny. I mean.
Getting back to the game.
This guy's
just bitter, man. You know what? You can't look at it from a Juve. I give a neutral perspective on this game. Sure, Juve dominated about half an hour into the second half, but I mean, if you just don't finish your chances, you don't deserve to win. In the end of the day, it's 3-2, not shots and not the shots that count.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, Del Piero getting a brace there, looking like the only Juve player that can score on that team. I don't know why Iaquinta or Trezeguet can't create any chances, and when they did get the chance, they couldn't finish. But I think this all comes down to Ranieri and his tinkering of the team. I mean, why would you change a team that beat Inter? Why would you mess with that squad? I think we need to move Camoranesi back into the center to play with Sissoko and have Salihamidzic or maybe Palladino, Marchionne. You have a players to play there. Or you put in Thiago. I mean, Thiago in the middle and you put Camoranesi. So,
a couple more things to say about this match. I was really impressed with Thiago, actually. After playing like really bad, like from what I've seen, he had a couple great. He had that one pass that went over the defense to, who was it? It was to Molinato. You remember that pass?
Yeah, I remember that.
That pass was, I mean, he just split open the defense over the defense. And another thing, Salihamidzic is a dirty motherfucker, all right? A Palermo player, I can't forget who it was, I think it was Ronaldo and Salihamidzic. Ronaldo went for the ball and they clashed and, you know, Salihamidzic tried to hit him in the stomach, tried to punch him in the stomach. I mean, that's just dirty. And some of these players really have to clean up their act, man. I'm getting sick of this.
It's coming from the guy that has Gattuso on his team. Anyways,
Gattuso never intentionally tries to hurt somebody. If somebody wrongs him, wrongs him the way he sees, like,
say yeah, whatever. I'm moving on. Let's go to
Gattuso is not an evil player. He's an honest, hardworking player. Speaking of Gattuso, we're talking about the Milan game. Great game, 3-1 for Milan. Goals from Kaká and a brace from Inzaghi. Inzaghi, one of my personal favorites. Great game, I gotta say. Milan showing the character that they have, coming back, bouncing back from these losses to play like this. And you see, you know, Ancelotti got mad, and he really showed that in the team. Kaká back. Nobody could touch Kaká in that game. He was going around everybody, taking shots from everywhere.
To be fair, it was Cagliari. I mean,
dude, Cagliari actually has been playing really well in the past few weeks. And, I mean, Roma tied with Cagliari. And a lot of teams have had trouble with Cagliari. And, but, you know, getting back to the game.
Yeah, Milan's looking good for the UEFA Cup spot.
4 points isn't a lot, all right? We got past Udinese. Fiorentina still have to play Inter. And, I think one more big team, but...
Well, you still have to play Milan. I mean, the Juve this weekend, and without Nesta.
I think without Nesta and Calazzo, but I think we'll win.
It's away, by the way.
I know. I still think that, you know, Juve doesn't have much to play for. I think they have Champions League locked, and we really, you know, you can see the hunger today in Milan, or Saturday. And I really think that's going to be the difference, because basically Juve has Champions League clinched, I think, because they have a game in hand. The one with Parma because of the
that's guy. It's still going to be a hard game against Parma. I mean, Parma's not an easy team to beat, especially away.
But you really think somebody's going to catch, like, Fiorentina and Milan are going to surpass Juve to take Champions League spot?
No, right now Fiorentina is only 2 points behind with Juve having a game in hand. But if that was a draw, that's only 3 points. So Juve is still trying to go clear.
Yeah, well, I still think with the schedule that they have left, they're going to do it, but... I don't know, but getting back to the game, you know, I think one thing, Boneta, you played on the right in place of Aldo. He did really well, not only defensively, but attacking, which he's been criticized a lot about.
Well, he played on the left in the second half, didn't he?
Yeah, that's only because Favagol got injured, and a couple of players broke down in that game. But he did really well. Kaká was awesome. Pirlo, getting back to his old self. Pipo Inzaghi, man, you can never count the guy out. The guy's 35 and he's still coming with money every day, man. He's 2 goals. His second goal, he slipped, he got back up, juked the goalie out, and cornered it the shot into the side net. It was beautiful.
And then he went and celebrated by himself in the corner flag.
Actually, Kaká was right there to celebrate with him, but whatever.
All right, man, so let's
move on. Milan for fourth place.
Yeah, whatever. So let's move on to Fiorentina Regina. Fiorentina getting a convincing win. I mean, 2-0 against Regina. Pazzini getting the goal in the first half, and Mutu pretty much sealing the deal in the 92nd minute.
Doesn't take much to get a convincing win against Regina, by the way.
Well, Regina's a pretty good team. I mean, they're relegation battlers as well, and not an easy team to play. But Fiorentina did play at home, and it was a convincing win. What do you think about Pazzini? I mean, he's looking like the future, like either Inzaghi or Giardino right now.
Well, I don't know if he can, you know, improve on his finishing. I think he's going to be a really good player, but he's really got to improve. He's kind of a disappointment with Fiorentina this season, along with Montolivo. But hopefully, they can get back to form next season. Mutu, clutch player, you know, coming back from injury these past 2 weeks. And, you know, he's always clutch for Fiorentina. And you know what? I'm surprised because I thought Fiorentina would lose points off this game because they played PSV in UEFA Cup. What is it? Thursday? Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. And they usually, you know, they're usually pretty tired because they don't have a very, very, you know, big squad. So I'm surprised to see them win. But hopefully they'll lose next week.
Yeah, well, Fiorentina, what's impressed me is Mutu. Mutu for the past 2 seasons has been pretty key. Well, one could say Mutu and Ibrahimovic being the same for their teams, being the key men, being out there, and both of them coming from Juventus, so well, that's that. Let's go on to some of the other games. Siena versus Udinese, pretty boring game, I'd say. Siena getting the 1-1 draw. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Harha?
Anyways, that's about enough. So you know, Udinese, that's all you really need to know.
No, but seriously, Flora Flores tying it up in the 78th minute. Let's read off some other scores. Napoli seeming like they can't even buy an away game these days. Walter Zenga in his debut game winning 3-0. Colucci, Spinazzi, and Vargas scoring. He was actually talking about how he accidentally did well in this game because he had to move up Vargas into midfield, which he did really well in, and I think he's going to be playing that position more often.
I think Zenga's, if you look at his history, he's a pretty bad coach. I think he got lucky this game, and I think Catania's going to get pretty close to getting relegated. I think they're going to pull it off and you know, be back in Serie A next season. But you know, I don't look at Zenga to do anything special with Catania.
Lazio getting the 2-2 draw, Boudin scoring, Pandev, Bianchi scoring an amazing goal from outside the box. I think it was either one touch or two touch. He scored, got in the top left corner. Nothing Bucci can do about that. And Pacci scoring in the 43rd minute. Basically, all four goals coming in the first half. Parma is not a bad team. I mean, they're pretty good. Sampdoria coming back against Livorno in the Stadio Ferraris. Maggio scoring in the 67th, Bonazzoli in the 85th, Cassano assisting both goals. And we'll talk about the selections for the Azzurri a little bit later, whether him and Del Piero or Amauri should be making it.
That's pretty much it. There's nothing much else you want to know about City. Yeah, I mean, most of the games were games that were really worth watching. Maybe Empoli-Torino. Empoli won, getting closer to salvation. Torino's doing really bad. Torino's actually getting pretty close to relegated with all the money they spent. And I don't see them getting relegated, but they're pretty close, so they better watch out.
Yeah, Gigi Cagni getting hired again. I don't know what's going on this season with all the hiring and firing and rehiring going on, but Ili Vanucki scoring in the 88th minute to give Empoli the away win. And Empoli player that's actually impressed me was actually owned by Juve's Giovinco this season. Hopefully we'll get to see him in the Olympics.
Another thing, good thing Gigi Cagni turned down that Iran job to come back to Empoli.
Yeah, to fight relegation battle. Alright. So basically, that's about it with the games.
I'd like to take a look at the transfer market now. There's a lot of stuff happening this week, particularly with Milan. I think Ronaldinho is pretty much coming to Milan this summer. As you can see, they offer supposedly they've offered £16 million, or in other words, $32 million circa, for Ronaldinho to get him right away. There's a clause that he can buy out for $10 million, but you know that would leave competition for other clubs like Juve and Inter, which are supposedly interested. And I think that's pretty much a done deal. Another weird one is who was it from West Ham that Milan wanted to buy?
Oh, that Irish player.
Yeah, some Irish player, McGregor or O'Connor or some stupid Irish name. I don't know. Anyways, that just seems like a bad deal. Another story, Milan fans protesting Chivas come back to Milan. I gotta say, I'm part of that. And, wow. And, you know, he's just slow, fat, not really worth much. Maybe a stint in MLS would do him some good. Yeah, I guess
you guys actually should be looking for some center backs. Ferrari supposedly coming on the free transfer. Either to Fiorentina, maybe Milan, to either work with Bonera or Prandelli, who used to work at with Parma. And who else? The defender from the Irish player. I'm trying to look it up.
One thing about Ferrari, I think he's a pretty good sub to have, but he's not a five-star, you know, starting defender that like Nesta or Calate that'll win you games against the big teams like Man United, Bayern Munich, and, you know, such teams like that.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a solid player. When Mexes has been out, he's been there. I mean, he's a pretty solid player. He used to be Parma's captain. He was pretty good. So let's see, what else? The Juve have been linked with Diego this pretty much the whole year, ever since last summer. His father's saying that Juve is really interested and probably the head runners, but you also read in the English paper that Arsenal's ahead, so you don't really know.
Who hasn't been linked to Juve this season, though, man? You guys are ridiculous. Everybody's coming to Juve, and Juve, you know, in their minds.
Well, I mean, it is a restructuring of the team. Ever since they got back from Serie B, I mean, it's what they need to do to keep the stars there. I mean, you're not going to keep Gigi Buffon there if you're not going to get high-class players to be able to compete in the Champions League.
Yeah, but I don't think you guys have... What do you guys have? I don't think you guys have enough money to spend on all those players. Because you're talking about Huntelaar, Van der Vaart, Diego. Who else you've been? Hittinga. You've been. Ronaldinho. You've been linked with. You've been linked with who else? Give me some names. Because I know you've been talking about who Juve wants to buy.
Well, basically, I mean, there's Van der Vaart, there's Diego. Because Juve is looking for that trequartista type player to substitute Nedved next season. But I mean, either one of them would be great. I mean, they've been Lampard. I don't really want Lampard. He's past his prime. I don't think he's gonna do anything at Juve.
When did he ever have a prime?
Well, he's done pretty well.
Joke.
Yeah, but pretty much that. I mean, Barzagli has been Ranieri's been looking for a center back, and Barzagli has been named, but I don't know if he's the player.
Well, anybody leaving Palermo, you're going to have to at least pay three times their worth, because Zampadini is not letting anybody go.
Well, there's also Flamini. Flamini would be a great addition. He's coming on a free transfer. I think Milan and Juve are his most likely destinations if he does leave Arsenal. I don't see him going to Inter just because they have too many midfielders.
Well, you never know with Inter. They like to buy a bunch of bench warmers, you know, to keep their benches warm. And hopefully Flamini will see the way and know that it'll ruin his career. Because you look at all the players that went to Inter, and, I'm not going to get into that right now, because we don't have that long a show.
Well, we can look at all the players they've almost ruined, like Seedorf, Pirlo, who else? Did they almost ruin Brocchi?
They ruined Vidi. Vidi's not the man he was. I don't care if he's 34 years old, but if he would have left Inter a year earlier, man, he would have been a lot better player right now.
Yeah. Anyways, let's look at the Champions League race. So we have the top four being Inter in first place, Roma behind them by 4 points, Juve behind Roma by 10 points with the game at hand, Fiorentina behind Juve at 56 points, Milan behind Fiorentina, Sampdoria, and then Udinese. So there's only 1 point separating Udinese from Sampdoria and Fiorentina at fifth, and then 4 points from Milan to Fiorentina. What do you think is going to happen there?
I think that, you know, if Milan continues to play the way they will, the way they did against Cagliari, I think they pull it off. It's going to be tough, but I think Fiorentina, the young players, the inexperienced players they have, I think they're going to choke at the end. I don't see Sampdoria taking that Champions League spot, that's for sure. Even though they have Cassano, has been amazing. I think Cassano is one of the most underrated players of the past 6 months. I think he really deserves a call-up anyways. Udinese, I think, is out of it. I think Milan's going to step it up and get that fourth Champions League spot, even though it's going to be really hard. I mean, Inter and Juve are must-win games, because that's where Fiorentina is going to drop points. So we need to win those points.
Yeah, I don't know. Right now, I would say it's a 50-50 between Milan and Fiorentina. It's kind of a toss-up. Fiorentina's been pretty solid this season. I think against Inter, they might be able to get a draw. And it's just going to be a really close title race. I mean, for the Champions League, that's what I meant.
Well, I think what's going to hurt Fiorentina is the run in the UEFA Cup, because they're going to get really tired. And I don't think they have enough players to keep up with Milan. I mean, we don't even have enough players for the Scudetto, but I still think we're going to pull it off.
I think Fiorentina is actually doing better than you guys are with their injuries and the amount of people they have on the bench to be able to bring on. Sampdoria, obviously, they're not going to have really that much of a chance at the Champions League, and neither is Udinese. So, I mean, they're going to be good UEFA Cup teams next season.
Even though I think out of Sampdoria and Udinese and Fiorentina, I think Udinese is just as good as Fiorentina. I mean, they have a really good team.
Yeah, also, let's take a look at the relegation battle. I mean, only 3 points separating five teams. Parma with 30 points, and then Livorno with 29, Empoli with 29, Cagliari with 29, and Reggina with 27. Who do you see going down this season?
Well, you can't exclude Catania with 32 and Torino with 34. I think that's where it cuts off. I think Siena is safe with 37. But, like, Livorno, at the beginning of the season, I thought they were done. I mean, I think they hadn't won up until, what, the 10th game or something like that. And Regina, you know, they're fighting, but I can't see them getting out. Cagliari, even though they got 3 points restored because they were deducted 3 points for some illegal lawsuit that they had, but they got 3 points back there now at 29. They're playing pretty good, but I don't know. My pick is for relegation is I think Empoli's gonna bounce back. I think it's gonna be Livorno, Cagliari, Regina.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I mean, Empoli's been doing pretty well. They're the players that they have on loan, the players that they have. I mean, they're better than Livorno. I don't see Livorno going. I mean, staying up. I see Empoli staying up. So Livorno, Cagliari, Regina, in some sort of order, going down. But that being said, let's look up top at the the Scudetto race. What do you see? Inter, Roma,
4 points. I'm hoping Roma can do it, because Inter don't deserve it. They don't merit it, and I just want to see them crash and burn, basically. I think Roma deserve to win against Inter, but you know, the draw came out, and I don't know. It's tough to tell, because the way Inter's been playing is just tough. And but Roma, I mean, Inter's been trying to hand Roma the Scudetto, and they just keep fucking up. They lost 3-0 to Siena when Inter tied, and they could have caught points. They lost to Lazio when Inter, I believe, lost to Napoli. Was that the weekend?
Yeah, they lost.
And
to Napoli.
They could have brought it in within 1 point. But God, they just keep letting everybody down. They're the letdowners of the Serie A, man. They suck.
I wouldn't say they suck. And I mean, as much as I'd love to say Inter doesn't deserve it, they have been one of the most consistent teams. I mean, I hate them, but they have been one of the most consistent teams. I think this weekend is going to show a lot. Inter playing Fiorentina and Roma playing Udinese. If Fiorentina could get a draw and Roma wins, or Fiorentina win and a Roma win, that'll bring it down to 2 or 1 point. So I think this weekend is very important. And then the Inter also has the game against Milan. So we'll see what happens there. What do you think this weekend? Is it going to be positive or negative for Roma?
Well, as you see, Roma are playing Udinese away to Udinese. There's a lot of good games this weekend. Roma away to Udinese, Milan away to Juve. You got Fiorentina away to Inter. That could upset the balance of the whole Serie A. I mean, you know, Milan could bring it to within 1 point. Roma could bring it to within 1 point of the Scudetto. It's gonna be a good weekend. The way I see it, I think Inter's gonna probably get the draw or win against Fiorentina. I really see Milan winning against Juve, because I mean, I think Juve seem, you know, they've had a bit of a dip in form since the win against Inter, and and the way they've been playing, they've been playing all right, but they haven't been getting the result. And the way Milan played against Cagliari, I think if that's the way they're gonna play, I really think they're gonna pull it off. But they do have some, you know, worries back in the defense, because they have Nesta and Kolarov out. So that's probably gonna bring Fava goal in.
We'll get to the next weekend's analysis in a little bit, but let's go to something that's coming up on Wednesday. Roma, Manchester United. Do Roma stand a chance in hell to beat Man U without Totti?
Fuck no.
Let's keep cursing down just a little bit. I think, man, you got to wrap on this one. You might as well not play Cristiano Ronaldo and see how the first half goes. I mean, Roma just don't seem like they have the same character that they do with Totti, and I just really don't see them overturning a 2-0 win. Everything would have to go perfect for them and wrong for Manchester United.
I just got to say one thing. Ronaldo's a beast. If you see him, if you've seen him play recently, this guy is the best player in the world right now. That header he had against Roma last week, he just forced his way onto Cassetti and basically sodomized Cassetti right there. That was ridiculous. And then he didn't even celebrate because he had so many goals during the season. He just basically, you know, how's my face? He's just, man, that guy's awesome.
I think he didn't celebrate because he got an elbow to the chest area right there. But I also think that was a defensive error. I don't think Cassetti should be letting in anyone coming in to make a header like that.
Yeah, but dude, Ronaldo's just that strong. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but still. Anyways, I mean, there's no doubt he's the best player in the world right now. But we'll see. Probably better than George Best, as most Man U fans and English EPL fans are putting it.
Nah, I don't know about that one. Not yet, maybe.
I think his goal-scoring record speaks for itself, and, I mean, he's playing at a faster pace than George Best did at his time, so, I mean, you gotta say it, he looks like at the end of the season we're gonna be saying that he's better than George Best. Alright, let's go move on to the Azzurri. I mean, Donadoni, what are we gonna say about him?
Shit.
No, I don't know about that. I mean, he I don't know. I just hope Palombo doesn't make the team, Rocky doesn't make the team.
And I hope Simeone doesn't captain the team through the whole thing.
Yeah, Simeone, I think what was his explanation for Simeone being called up?
I believe Simeone's the only right winger available in Italy to play, so we're screwed.
Yeah, apparently he's the only right winger. All right, three questions. Del Piero, Cassano, and Borriello, how do you see that? Who should go, who shouldn't?
Well, I just want to remind everybody that, you know, whatever you hear us talk about, like, we want to hear your views on who should be called up. But here are my views. I think Materazzi is a for sure call up no matter what. I think Del Piero's in a 75-25 at the moment. I think Cassano. I think his temper let him down. I think that last rant that he had against the ref, I think that just let him off.
You know? Would you say like a 35% or 40% chance of him going? Maybe less than that.
I don't think he's going. I really don't.
Yeah, I really don't see it either unless Quagliarella or someone gets injured.
And I hope Borriello doesn't get called up because he's great for Genoa against, like, you know, because he's only like forward on Genoa. But I don't think he's good for the national team.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got a lot to prove. I mean, I think it was Channel 4 was comparing him, saying maybe he might be the next Igor Proti, who scored like 23 goals in one season, and next season he only scored like 6 goals. So we'll see what happens with him. I was pretty impressed against Spain. He had some pretty nice traps and passes. And he was connecting well.
Yeah, he did, but I don't see him as a top quality, you know, forward that we need. Like, I don't see him competing with Toni, Gilardino, Del Piero, Inzaghi, Cassano, players like that. Like the best, like Di Natale and Quagliarella. I don't see him competing with those types of players.
To be fair, I don't really rate Quagliarella that high either. I mean, sure, he's had some really nice goals, but, I mean, other than that, he's not a consistent enough player to be making it on the national team. The problem is that the players that went to the World Cup aren't playing as consistent as we'd expect them to, like Gilardino. Iaquinta has been sitting on the bench for the most part of the season, but he's been a clutch player. He's pretty versatile.
I think Gila deserves a call up because him and Toni, I think, is the best partnership for Italy up top. If you see them play together, they have a really good understanding of each other. And in the World Cup, they played really well. They played good in the friendlies before the World Cup. I think if Donadoni knows, you know, what's good for the team, which he doesn't. He'll play, you know, he'll call up Gila. Even if he doesn't start, he should still call up Gila.
I don't know about that one. I don't know if we can call up a player who hasn't scored in a year in his home stadium for Milan. But I think that's the problem. He's just not consistent. Right now, Pippo Inzaghi, if he keeps up his form, he could be the surprise call as well, because we always need a player like that can score important goals.
Well, if you look at Inzaghi's history, he always performs like the 6 months before a tournament. Look at the World Cup; he earned his call up in the last 6 months, and for all the other tournaments, I think he did as well. And I mean, even if he doesn't deserve it, I just want to see him called up because I just love the guy.
Yeah, I mean, we always want to see our idols kind of win like medals, just like we enjoyed seeing them win in the World Cup. It was kind of sad not to see Baggio or Maldini or Vieri hold up the trophy, but it was good to see Cannavaro, Del Piero, Totti, and the rest of them hold it up. What about Amaury?
That's a for sure no. He's not getting called up.
I wouldn't like him to get called up, but I think there's a chance he might get called up. The recent form he's in, and compared to some of the other players that we have right now on the national team, I just think he's a Brazilian. I mean, there's no reason that he should be getting called up right now.
Well, Calmo got called up, but that's different because he got Italian background. But I don't know.
Calmo, he had some kind of Italian ancestry, but Amaury is basically just like if someone was to come into the U.S. and live here for 5 years and get the U.S. citizenship, and that's basically what it is. That being said, let's do our predictions for week 33 of Serie A. Okay, Empoli, Parma. What do you see going on there?
That's got draw written all over. I say 2-2.
Yeah, I'd say 2-2 or 1-1. It's a relegation battle for both of them, so if one of them does come out of it, it's a big step towards salvation.
Next one is Genoa-Torino. Genoa, I say 3-1, with the Borriello at least having one goal. Torino's in horrid form, and I don't see them getting out of it.
Yeah, I don't even see them scoring one goal either. 2-0, 3-0 would be good. Inter-Fiorentina, how do you see that one panning out? It is at the San Siro.
That's a tough one, because the way Fiorentina has been playing and the way Inter's been playing, you would have to say draw. And that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say draw. I'm going to say 1-1. Ibra and Mutu.
Ibra and Mutu. I'm actually going to say Inter winning this one. Or either it's going to be a tight 1-1 draw or a 2-1 Inter getting a lucky goal. Nah, maybe in the second half.
Nah, you pick one. There's no if.
All right, I'll say Inter 2-1. Say Inter 2-1. Let's go into Juve Milan.
Okay, I'm gonna say 1-0. Pato. If Pato comes back from injury, hopefully. Cause I don't know. He was out of the Cagliari game for some reason. I really didn't find out about that. But I'll say Milan 1-0.
I think with your defensive problems, Juve is gonna win 2-1 or 3-1.
You wish. Lazio Siena. I'm gonna say Siena winning it at the Olimpico. 1-0, Macaroni scoring.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I see Lazio winning 2-1 in this one.
Livorno-Cagliari, that's a tough one. I'm gonna say Cagliari with the away win.
Yeah, I'd say the same, either a 2-1 or a 0-1, you know, to Cagliari. Napoli-Atalanta, what do you see happening in that one?
I'm gonna say 0-0, 1-1.
I'm going to say 2-0 or 2-1 for Napoli. The San Paolo has been key for them this season. A lot of their wins have been at home, and it's been hard to beat them, as Inter would know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Palermo-Catania up next. I'm going to have to go with Palermo on this one. They played pretty well against, pretty good against Juve. And like I said, I think Zanga is going to just mess up things at Catania. So I'm going to say 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0. Well, I'm going to say it's a Sicilian derby, and I don't think Zenga is that bad. I think Catania's motivated after the recent win. I'll say 2-2.
By the way, this was the fixture where that whole riot thing happened, and an officer got killed in Catania.
Yeah, well, this isn't Palermo.
I know this isn't Palermo, but let's see how the fans react to it. Next game, Regina Samp. I'm going to say Samp. With Cassano just, if he doesn't score, he's setting up almost every goal Samp scores. So we'll say Samp with the win against Regina.
Alright, and the final fixture, Udinese-Roma. I'm going to have to say it really depends on Roma's reaction after the Man U game, whether they win, which is unlikely, or they lose. I really see a draw in this one, or maybe even an Udinese win.
I think it's going to be a draw no matter what. I think it's a draw for sure.
Draw. What do you think? 1-1 or?
I don't know. That's tough because they both got good, pretty good attack. And that's defense is a little leaky, but I think it's a draw. I'm not gonna say scoreline.
Scoreline. All right. I'll say 1-1 or 2-2, I guess. And that pretty much wraps it up for this week of Tutto Calcio. We'd appreciate it if you guys could email us your questions at tutto.calcio@yahoo.com. Send us some critiques as well. I mean, we're trying to fix up some things for ourselves, some technical problems we have. If anyone could help us out with that too, you can email us as well. So it's tutto.calcio.com. I mean, tutto, which is T-U-T-T-O .calcio@yahoo.com. All right, is that good enough for you, Ale?
Yeah, usually we should have music, but a nice entrance theme. We'll see if we can get that up, but Milan for the win, because Juve can suck my balls.
Yeah, alright, very professional of you. We'll see you guys in UEFA Cup next season. Add us on MySpace so you can see some of the pictures we have there too. So it's www.myspace.com/tuttocalcio, T-U-T-T-O calcio, C-A-L-C-I-O. So I guess we'll hear from you guys next week. So don't forget to send us questions, critiques, anything. Alright guys, we'll see you next week.
Forza Milan.
Forza Juve. Forza Juve. Forza Juve. Forza Juve.